Have you ever been on a walk during a windy day? You get afraid of what you might look like, especially your hair. But as you look into that mirror, what kind of person do you see? In this world, we are surrounded by standards. What's appropriate to say in public, what to say around children, what to wear in public, and what's important in life. Many different views are created in these standards. As Christians, we are held at different standards than our worldly friends and therefore viewed differently. Christians are going to be viewed differently by the world because Jesus, the man we're named after, called us to be different. In Luke 12:51, Jesus said, "Do you think that I have came to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus has created division, another standard, through his teaching. In the History Channel program, The Bible, the actor playing Jesus went into a boat where Peter was and was preaching to him, saying, "I'll make you fishers of men." Once when Peter fully accepted and was ready to follow him, he asked, "What now?" And Jesus' answer is what shocked me. He said, "Now we change the world." Once Jesus established Christianity, there have been two different people in this world, two different standards, Christians and non-Christians. As Christians, we are called to be lights of the world, found in Matthew 5:14. We have entered into a battle between light and dark. There can be no gray areas because dark, which is the world, is the complete absence of light, meaning that there is no way for a Christian to be in the same category as a worldly person. The world has been described as man-pleasers, gossipers, conceited, and prideful. But you as Christians need to be different. The world needs to question your difference. During LTC, we looked at Romans 12. So please turn to there. Right now I just want us to focus on Romans 12, 14 through 21. Sometimes in different Bible version, this is called marks of a true Christian or behave like a Christian. Throughout this passage, there are commands that go against human nature. In verse 14, it says, "Bless those who bless you. Bless them and do not curse them." 16, "Never be wise in your own sight." 17, "Repay no one evil for evil." And 19, "Do not avenge yourself, but let God handle it. For he says, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" And lastly, probably the most hardest one is verse 20. He tells us to help out our enemies. Give him food if he's hungry, drink if he's thirsty. And these are things not normally done to people who have wronged you. People will start to notice the difference in treatment that you have given them. In verse 20, we see that it messes with their mind or heaps coal of fire on their head. They will start to question why you've shown them this way, opening up an avenue for you to show the love and wonders and hope given in your Christian walk, showing them your higher standard. Also, a Christian is going to be viewed by divine standards. God has laid out all what he expects us in his word. Romans 20:12 says that everyone will be judged by what was written in the books. God gives us a blueprint on how to be a Christian. In Romans 12, in verse 1, we are told to become a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Holy and acceptable to God. He gave himself up as a sacrifice and asked us to do the same. That's at least of what we owe him because he did so much for us. In verse 9, Christians are told to be lovers of good and haters of evil. For we are supposed to be out of the world where evil is and cling to what is good, which God is good.
All the time.
In verse 10, Christians need to be full of love for each other or have brotherly love. We are part of the same family, part of the same body. And again, in verse 10, talks about showing honor, giving preference to one another, and giving respect. In Philippians 2:4, it says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." In verse 11, it tells us not to be lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It is all about the attitude you have towards serving him. In 1 Corinthians 7:22, Christians are called slaves of Christ. In Christianity, God has become your master. He now makes all your decisions because you are in bondage to him. In verse 12, we see Christians are hopeful, patient in tribulation, and a prayer. Christians, we have received hope and need to rejoice in it. In Hebrews 9, 15 through 16, we see that Christ died for us all in order that we may have a well-established eternal inheritance, heaven. Patient in tribulation. James 1, 2 through 3 said that God gives us these trials in life in order to learn something from them. Anything we go through, we can handle because God will never give us more than we can bear and always provides a way of escape, as found in 1 Corinthians 10 through 13. Last in verse 12, Christians are to be prayers. We need to be constant in prayer, never ceasing. It is our way of communicating to our Father. He wants to know what's going on in your life. And in Philippians 4, 7, it says that praying brings God's gifts of peace. In verse 13, we are to be givers, contribute to the needs of the saints, and hospitable to one another. In verse 15, Christians are to be sympathetic, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. We need to feel what our sisters and brothers are going through and ride this crazy roller coaster called life together. In verse 16, Christians are humble. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. In Philippians 2, 3 through 5, we are told to put others in front of ourselves just as Christ has done for us. Finally, what a Christian looks like is Christ. Christ is the ultimate example in which a Christian should follow. 1 Peter 2, 22 through 23 says, "For this is you called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Christ was human. He had the appearance of man and was born to women just like all of us, yet without sin. Christ was also obedient. He kept all the Father's commandments, as we're told in John 15:10. He was humble, lowered himself above all, and suffered for all of us. He was forgiving. In Luke 23:34, we see him forgiving the ones who put him on the cross, who ordered his death. Christ was also sympathetic. He helped out so many because he felt for them, had love towards them, took pity. We see Christ helping leopards, cripples, the blind, deaf, the mute, and raising people from the dead. Christ was also different, even as a child. In Luke 2, 46 through 48, we see the story of young Jesus in the midst of the temple, surrounded by the teachers of the synagogue, asking and listening to the questions they told. The teachers were amazed, and even his earthly parents were astonished at his understanding. Jesus stood out, even as a kid. It is his difference that made him who he is and what caused people to have the need to put him on a cross. Now, we need to be Christ-like. We are made perfect through him, as told in Hebrews 5, 9. When you hold up a mirror, what do you see? Hopefully, the image of Christ is standing in front of you.